thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
The 1st of March, one or two were saying on the way in this morning that it's unbelievable that it's that date already, that 2 months of the year has gone, and it is Sunday, the 1st of March. It is officially the start of spring. I don't know if you're feeling springy this morning or not. It has been a long 2 months of rain since the start of the year, and I think a lot of people are glad to see that spring is here. There's an old saying goes, that March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lion, or the other way around. I'm not quite sure how it goes. But certainly when I woke up this morning, there was a bit of a wind blowing, and certainly March had come in a bit like a lion. There's an old saying amongst the old farmers, they need to have their spuds planted before the 17th of March, or they're just not going to do. And that is another thing that March is associated with. Also as well, I don't know if you know this or not, the 1st of March is the official day when crows start to build their nests. And we have a wood behind the house, and we have a group of crows that have been there for a number of years. And they are, well, I have to say this morning, they didn't look too busy, so they mustn't work on Sundays, which is good, okay. So, there's a group of crows, there must be about maybe 100 or 200 of them, and they're there all year round, and we keep an eye on them. Anybody know what you call a group of crows? A murder, well done, that's correct, a murder of crows. I'm not going to get into that anyway, but yes, a murder of crows. Another thing I notice about the crows is they have a great sense. Our kitchen window is next to our lawn, and when I have an old bit of bread or anything, I just open the window and fire the bread out onto the lawn. Within 2 to 3, 4 minutes, there'll be 2 or 3 crows on the fence. And then they'll go through a ritual to see who's going to go down first to get the bread. And usually they'll send one of the younger ones down to see if the cat will come and take them, you know, before the old wiser ones goes down. But they have a great sense of knowing when there's a piece of bread on the lawn. That's just by way of a little bit of introduction this morning. The sermon is not about crows. Last week, JT spoke about standing in the gap, about intercessory prayer. And if you haven't heard it or you want to hear it again, I would encourage you to go online and listen to it again. We had Ross McBride here a few weeks ago, and he also spoke about prayer, and he had felt led about, he's coming on to be Irish superintendent, and about the importance of prayer and about leading the movement of Elam in prayer over the next year, or the first year certainly, as he comes as Irish superintendent. And I just felt led all week to continue to look at prayer. And a bit like the crows, we want to build on what we've heard, and we want to sense what God wants us to be in our prayer lives. It may come as a shock to some people, but you don't have to be a follower of Jesus, or you don't have to believe in God our Father and the Holy Spirit to believe in prayer. Many people the world over have an idea of prayer. We were away on, fortunate enough to be away on holidays recently. And we were flying with Etihad, who are based in the United Arab Emirates. And they're predominantly, obviously, Islam/Muslim country. On their planes, on the TV screen in the back of the seat in front, in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a wee arrow that directs you to Mecca at all times. So wherever you're flying on the plane, they know where Mecca is. The Muslim faith have 5 times of prayer a day. I don't know the names, I do know the names of them, but I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them or anything like that. But on the screen, on the plane, along the bottom of the screen, there will be a timer to when the next time of prayer is and the name of that time of prayer. I had a man on the bus recently. He got his wallet out to use his pass to get a ticket, and on doing so, he had found that he had lost his bank card. And then he got into a bit of a tizzy. He was in a bit of a worry. He was anxious. Where's my card? What have I done with it? He had a fair idea it was in the kitchen somewhere, but he wasn't just sure. And then he turned around and he says, I'll pray to the man above that it'll be all right. Now, I have a fair idea of the background of the gentleman who it was, and I would suggest that he's not a Christian man, he's not a follower of Jesus. But yet he came out with this phrase, I'll pray to the man above and everything will be all right. See, there's a thought process of prayer in most people, but yet there's no understanding of prayer. 1 Kings chapter 18, very well known portion of scripture, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And the challenge has been laid down. They're going to build their altars. They're going to call upon their gods to come down. Elijah is going to call upon his god, and Baal, the prophets of Baal, are going to call upon their gods. And we know the story very well, most of us. The fact that prophets of Baal, they were jumping and shouting and dancing and nothing was happening. They were praying to their gods. And of course, Elijah started to mock them a little bit. Asked them to shout a bit louder. Their god must be sleeping or their god isn't available. And of course, they got louder and louder to the extent where they started to cut themselves. And we all know the story that it ended in disaster for them because Elijah, of course, built his altar, put the sacrifice upon it and poured the water on and on and on. And just when he asked God to come down, the sacrifice was taken away. You see, the concept of prayer is not lost on people. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to open at Matthew, the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to commence to read from verse 5. And maybe in your Bible, you might have a wee title just above this portion of Scripture. It may be, in my Bible, it's called the Model Prayer. So Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5 goes like this. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, and we are well aware of the following few lines. The Lord's Prayer: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we pray the Lord will add a blessing to the reading from his wonderful, wonderful word. You see, friends, I believe or a sense, I don't know how what you feel or what you sense, but personally, I believe or sense that God is speaking to us at this moment in time, in this season, about prayer. Whether that's as individuals or as a church, I'm not too sure. But I do believe that God is speaking to us about prayer. Over the years, there has been seasons of prayer in many churches and also in the church here. And we try to plan about prayer. And prayer comes and can come in many different ways. And we have different ideas about how we can pray and how we can encourage to pray. Prayer before missions, when churches decide to have missions, and we've done that in the past. There is a real focus on prayer leading up to the missions. There's a real focus on praying for the lost. There's a real focus on praying for the mission. It sharpens our minds when we decide or when we feel led to have mission. Sometimes we can have special times of prayer, maybe once a week for a month or two. This would be different than just the normal prayer meeting and Bible study. There would be maybe special times of prayer where we just want to seek the Lord, where we just want to lean upon him for a time. We feel led to go after the Lord. Nights where we come and wait on the Lord, like encounter nights. It's another type or idea for prayer. Sometimes maybe we have 24 hours or 48 hours of prayer or continual prayer around the clock for many days. That can happen at times, and we've done that in the past. And of course, somebody has to do the graveyard shifts of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. But it has been done where there is someone praying every hour of the day for 24, 48, or maybe longer days. Sometimes prayer can feel hard going and slow. Even in our gathering together, we have to admit, sometimes it just can appear to be laboured. It's like pulling teeth. Other times it just flows. Just bang, 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 one after the other. And we all feel richly blessed. Different ideas for prayer. As well as different ideas for prayer, we have different types of prayer. We pray for the sick. We pray for the sick. And it's been a while since we've done it, and we've talked about it, and hopefully soon we're going to have another prayer line some Sunday morning. We pray for the sick because James 5:14 tells us, God's word tells us, is any among you sick? And I know that there are some who are sick. Or that we know family members, or that we know someone who is unwell, and we can stand in for them. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we have times of prayer for the sick. There is also a prayer team available. Some people would say that they don't like going to prayer teams. They don't want to go to prayer teams. They don't believe in it because they believe that it should be the pastors, the elders, or a leadership team that should be praying for us? What does the Bible say? If you read on down in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says this here, confess your trespasses to the elders. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. While yes, we call upon the elders to come and pray, it's not the be all and end all. You can confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We have a prayer team. Avail of them if you feel the need. One must be careful not to court controversy here, but maybe sometimes, hear me, church, sometimes people miss out on a blessing or a healing, especially in that aspect if they've got their eyes on the pastor or the elders or the leadership team. Folks, get your eyes on God in prayer. For man will only let you down. He is your God. He is your Savior. And he is your comforter in prayer. You can stop anywhere at any time of the day with any other brother and sister and pray. There's also prayer apps now in this modern world in which we live. And we have one, social media. And you can bring your requests so that other brothers and sisters in the Lord can partner with us in our time of need. And we've seen that through the week. But we also have to be sensitive in such matters as well. You have to remember that not everybody may be comfortable sharing personal issues. And before you would go on to a prayer app or anything like that there, you need to seek first that the person you want to pray for or happy that you would share before posting online. And that brings into the aspects of the modern world in which we live in, with safeguarding issues and all those sorts of things. There are many different types of prayer. There's prayers of adoration. A prayer of adoration should direct the heart towards honoring God for who he is. By acknowledging God's holiness and power, it aligns the believer's thoughts and intentions with eternal perspective. Prayers of adoration. Praying for the sick. Prayers of adoration. There's also prayers of supplication. It involves a humble request for divine guidance, healing, provision, or wisdom. Perhaps, maybe, all of us could do with entering into a season of prayer, of supplication, and asking for God's wisdom as well as divine guidance, healing, and provision. There are also prayers of lament, which is perhaps maybe a harder prayer. A prayer of lament arises from sorrow or grief. We've already heard about that and prayed about that this morning. A prayer of lament arises from sorrow or grief, presenting honest feelings of pain or even confusion to God. And the psalmist and many of the psalms illustrate this, brothers and sisters, this morning. I've picked one out, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord? There's three questions. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 13, verse 1. A prayer of lament from the psalmist. Do you feel like that this morning? Is there anyone in here this morning? And you're thinking to yourself, dear me, I feel like that sometimes. I feel like that now. It's maybe been a feeling that you've had for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Do you feel like that this morning? I'll share a wee story. Yvonne doesn't even know this, so this will be a revelation to her as well. Message from God. Sometimes at night, I'm sure it happens to us all, we find trouble sleeping. And we toss and we turn and we get on. And one night, this happened to me in the autumn time, way back before Christmas. And you look at the clock and it's 12:30 and you think you've lay 3 hours and it's 12:45 and you and I decided, which I normally would do, time to get up. Get up, go and make a wee cup of tea, and sometimes just open God's word. But on this particular night, I started to pray. And we heard about the intercessory prayer last week and standing in the gap. I was praying for my children. And it was a prayer of lament. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Have you forgot about us? And I know there are many people praying for their loved ones, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, aunts and uncles, the whole range of family and friends as well. And we have prayed. And Lord, it is easy to get into that place of lament where we're asking how long. I got to the point, and it can go for sick members in our families as well that we pray for. I got to the point where my thought process, and I'm talking to God, where I have, you get married and you have children, and I've fathered 3 children, and I've played my part in that and been responsible for that, and I just thought, and I was talking to God, and I said, Oh Lord, would it have been better to have been fatherless than to bring 3 people into the world that at this moment in time are going to a lost eternity? It would have been better never to have had any children than to bring 3 children into the world and at this moment in time they're going down the wrong way and there doesn't seem to be any turning in it. Boy, but I had a couple of bad errors. And I worry. And I have an anxiety about it. Because time is short and you only have to turn on the news even in the last 48 hours. Yes, I know. It's God's divine grace whether someone will have children or not. But that's how I felt at that time. If I'm being honest, I don't think I'm over it yet. I've struggled from time to time with it since. But I contended with God in my living room that night. Prayers of lament. But there's also prayers of faith. We have to have faith in God. Prayers of praise. Just resting on Him to know that someday they're going to come back to Him. Prayers of faith, prayers of praise, prayers of consecration, prayers of dedication. Then there's harder prayers again. Prayers of confession and prayers of dedication. Sorry, repentance. I'm reading the wrong line. Harder prayers. Prayers of confession and prayers of repentance is what I should have said. You see, a prayer of confession or repentance, confession involves admitting sins and seeking forgiveness. Repentance follows confession, turning away from wrongdoing back towards the obedience to God. See, in John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, the scripture affirms this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sometimes, there's that word, admitting sins. We're not very good at it. But confession involves the admitting of sins and seeking forgiveness first and foremost. Prayers of intercession. JT spoke about that last week. I'm not really going to touch upon that. We have prayers of thanksgiving. And we'll get the opportunity shortly when we come around the table. And I'll encourage you this morning when JT leads you around the table about a prayer of thanksgiving. We'll get the opportunity today, God willing. And every Sunday when we come around the table, we get the opportunity to offer prayers of thanksgiving. Sometimes it flows, and as I said earlier, sometimes it can be slow. You see, we should cultivate an attitude of gratitude. We should have an attitude of gratitude, acknowledging God's blessings and help in our lives and in the life of our church. Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. We also have to have that persistent prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, where we pray without ceasing. You see, I know that many of us can pray for years for a move of God in our families, in our churches, and in our town. Our forefathers have prayed for years. And we can stand alongside many in that prayer of intercession for family and friends. For we all long for our loved ones. But oh, it can be tough, wearisome, and a feeling of loneliness and hopelessness. And how long is the cry? Oh Lord, how long is the cry? But when He moves, when we see God do something, do we recognize it? Do we sense it? Do we understand it? And do we thank Him for it when He does move? Over the last number of months, maybe a couple of years or so, we have seen God move amongst the young people in our church, but also in a wider scope. Friends, that's been an answer to prayer for years. There's been prayers to see God move in a mighty way for years. And now we have seen, or we are seeing, a real move of God from just a few young people to around 70 most Sunday or most Friday evenings. 45 young people have asked Jesus into their lives in the last wee while. And there's a craving, or there appears to be a craving, amongst these young people to know more. And that appears to be missing in some of us older ones. And there's also a strategy involved of all this, where the young people then are bringing their parents to church. Nothing is by chance. Are we thankful enough to God for what he's doing? We seem to struggle to thank God in our prayers of thankfulness when we've seen 45 young people. It's amazing. Sorry for doubting, Lord. Sorry for doubting. Are we reaching out to these young people? Are we encouraging them? Are we helping them? Are we guiding them as older believers? There's a responsibility for us. You see, we pray for God to bless. We pray for God to move. We pray for God to sweep through here in our lives and in our town. But the reality is sometimes that when that blessing comes, it can upset some. To the point that even though when God is moving and doing a work in a place where God is clearly speaking and touching and moving, yet people run away from it. They up sticks and move on. Because, oh yes, we pray for the moving of God, but then when the move of God comes, Maybe not moving in the way I expected them to or anticipated them to. Brothers and sisters, this morning, let's be thankful for what he is doing amongst us, irrespective of whether we're enjoying it or not. We should be. We should be thankful that he is moving. We should be thankful that he is saving and growing, and that, as eight people, JT said, eight people or eight young people want to go through the waters of baptism, and there may be more. We should be thankful, friends. We seem apprehensive to be thankful. It's nervousness. But we should be, because he is worthy of it all. Lord, we thank you this morning. And we pray that it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And we all have to find our part in it. Coming around to our reading that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 6. We don't want to be like the hypocrites, that's in verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. You see, brothers and sisters, praying is to the Lord, it is not to man. And in the verses before chapter 5, or the verses before verse 5 in chapter 6, there's a little bit about giving. And praying to the Lord is the same as in giving to the Lord. At the beginning of this chapter, you're not giving to man, you're giving to the Lord. You're not praying to man, you're praying to the Lord. And then there's a call in verse 6 that we go to our room, that secret place. I once heard a sermon on the power of the closet, that secret place being called the closet, that room where you go, where you can close the door. And it's important for us as believers that we have this time set aside, that we can close ourselves in with God. Yes, it's nice to have corporate prayer. It's nice to have prayers around the table. And it's nice that we meet, and we should, and I'm going to speak of that there. But there is this point where we have to get ourselves locked away with God. It's very important to have this time. Now, your closet could be anywhere. We're talking about a room here, and I think it's important that you do that. But you could take yourself away to the beach. You could take yourself away to some beauty spot. You could maybe use the car. Or sometimes I use the bus. Some of the best times I have in prayer can be behind the wheel of the bus when there's nobody in it. An empty bus is a happy bus. That's what I say. Doesn't do much for the revenue, but an empty bus is a happy bus for me anyway, because it gets, I sing and pray going along the road. Some people believe that all prayer should be like that. But the Bible mentions group praying on several occasions, and one of them is Acts 12, verse 12, when Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So yes, we need time alone with God to pray, but it is good to pray corporately as well. It all adds together. It is all a piece of the jigsaw in bringing one dear soul to God. Never mind 45. In closing this morning, if you hear nothing this morning, hear this one point. This is God, the creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This supreme being who is in charge of everything. We do not understand everything. We can't even begin to explain everything. But this God who sent his son for you and me, this God who left, who when Jesus went back to heaven, left the Holy Spirit with us, this God wants somehow, some way to just simply talk to you. This Almighty God just wants to have a little time to just sit with you on your own and have a conversation. Wow. Wow. And when I say a conversation, it's just like a conversation that you would have with anybody. Just taking a few moments. Taking a little time to sit just one and one with your God. You maybe don't know who you want to pray for. Don't worry, because verse 8 tells us that he knows the things that you need before you ask. Before I ask.
He knows.
Our Father in heaven. And we say this morning in worship. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and it is coming. And when this, we've mentioned it before. When you see the news and when you see the events, Pastor Dempster always said this to us, and I'll say it to you young people, always keep your eye on Israel. Always keep your eye focused on what's happening in the Holy Land. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Always remember, folks, when we're praying, and sometimes when things just, you think there's no prayers, the prayers is tough, the prayers of lament, things just aren't going your way. You're trying to understand why you're in the situation that you're in, why some things happen that happen. Always remember that His will be. And we should pray into that. Lord, it is always your will that will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We should never take it for granted. About our food and about supplies and provisions that God lay up for us. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a daily prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A lot of people want their debts forgiven but don't want to forgive their debtors. It would appear that it doesn't work that way. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, our enemy, the one who just wants to hold us back, who wants to break everything up, who wants to destroy everything that we stand for in your life, in our church's life, in people's lives, in our society, everything about it, he wants to destroy. And we pray that you deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Bless his wonderful name, friends, this morning. Seek him in your prayer life. Ask where he would have you in prayer.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.